You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Fill the Void is an Israeli film written and directed by Rama Burstein. It takes place in a setting that will be unfamiliar to most moviegoers, the confined world of the ultra-Orthodox in Tel Aviv, Israel. It had its debut last year at the Venice Film Festival, and when it was shown at the New York Film Festival last fall, the New York Times film critic Manola Dargis called it an enthralling, stirring tale directed with a sure, delicate touch and great intimacy. It opens tomorrow at the Landmark Sunshine and Lincoln Plaza Theaters, and joining me now is Rama Burstein and her star, Hadas Yaron, who won the Best Actress Award at the Venice Film Festival. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
Now, Rami, this is your first feature. It's also the first feature made by an Orthodox female filmmaker?
Yeah.
Was that a problem in a world where male-female roles are sharply defined in almost every aspect of life?
They're very defined, but the weird thing is that in my world, the art are for women, and women do that. We don't even have to fight them. They're not there. So only women do films in my world.
Although there have been a number of films about the Haredi community by men, but they have not been members of the community.
Right.
Are you the first insider to do a film like this?
There was another film that's called Ushpizin, that the one that wrote it and played with it was Orthodox, but it was directed by a secular director.
But in this case, your actors are secular. Hadas Yaron, you are not a member of the Hasidic community.
No.
So, but was this a community you were? Do you knew much about before you took the role?
No, I didn't know anything. I mean, you see them walking in the street, you hear things, you think you know because we have the same holidays and the same religion, but it's all assumptions and things you hear and you think you know best, but then you realize once you get to know, like, the real people that you don't know anything.
Well, how did you wind up being cast in this role? Because the film really depends on you doing a convincing performance. You're just wonderful in it. But had you done much film work before?
I did only one feature film before that. Before I was 15, and then I went to high school, like a drama school, and then I did the army, and then I auditioned for this part.
And did you know right away that she'd be good for it?
Yeah. I was waiting for her for a whole year. I was looking for her.
Now, you've gone to film school.
Yeah.
Were you the only ultra-Orthodox woman at the Sam Spiegel School?
I was not ultra-Orthodox. I was totally secular when I went to school, and then a few months after I graduated, I became religious. It's been 20 years that I am religious.
And you've made other films, but they were exclusively for women within the community?
As I was saying, there's an industry in the community, but it's only women doing for women, by women, only women playing. So I was doing films there.
And what kinds of stories would you tell in those films?
It would be like TV of the 40s, very melodramatic, the right amount of laughter and, you know, and crying, so everyone's going to be happy. It's funded by us. It's our money, so you make sure people come. It's entertainment. It has nothing to do with the, you know, expressing art or something.
But this is a total departure then, because this is really a film, even though this is about, this takes place in this community and it has all sorts of, you have all sorts of details that might be strange to people who don't know the community. In the end, it winds up a very human story, the kind of thing that we could probably find all over the world.
I guess that's why I'm here. Otherwise, I would have stayed all the way in Tel Aviv. I guess people related to that.
You've cited Jane Austen as an influence. With different details, could this have been something that she had written about in the early 19th century?
I didn't really think of her when I did this project, even though afterwards when people made the comparison, I understood why. I mean, I read everything she wrote, but it was like 30 years ago. I didn't really have her in my mind doing that. But it's the same. And I think even without the rules and everything, it's her storytelling is about having a lot of conflicts in the same room. I always loved that, I guess. And I guess I took it with me. I love when a lot of things happening and nobody knows of what the other person knows. So But I didn't really think of her when I did the film.
Well, this is also about families and young women hoping to get married and marry the right person, meet the right person, pressures on them to marry somebody when somebody else might be better for them. I was thinking, well, if Jane Austen was in the 19th century, at times to the outside world, Hasidism seems like it's centered somewhere in an even earlier century.
It's very old. We're 3,000 years old. And we go all the way back.
3,000? No, I would think that you go back to the Middle Ages, don't you?
3,000 years old. This is how old we are.
Okay.
So, and we're, it's we're keeping it pretty much the same, you know?
You said that you wanted to avoid the religious secular dialogue. Were you concerned that you might have trouble finding an audience because, as I understand it, most Hasidic Jews don't watch television, go to movies, or read secular magazines?
This film was not done for the Hasidic community. It was done for a secular audience. If I had to talk to them, I would use a different cinematography language, different cinema language, because if they do television of the 40s, it's hard for them to understand this kind of film in this language.
You're a cinematographer. Many people remember his wonderful work on a film called Beaufort, which was about the war.
He didn't shot this film. He started working and then he stopped. It's not his work.
Oh. He did Atash.
It is Atash, which is amazing.
Yes.
Well, the film has this very soft focus. It's sure an actress must really love being photographed like that. Especially when the camera comes in so close for some of the close-ups.
It was actually the most frightening thing about it, like to have the camera on me. But you know, Asaf Sudri does do an amazing work. So, yeah.
Now, why is it frightening? Because you can't help but notice that the camera's there when you're trying to remain in your character?
That's also something that happened to me a lot. Like doing a scene and then all of a sudden just step out of it and like see the camera in the angle of my eye. It's bad. You have to get rid of it. But no, it's just knowing that you're out there and that they see you. You have to be real. So,
you want to tell us a bit about the plot?
The plot? Should I tell?
Sure.
I'm always afraid that I'll tell the ending or like the spoilers.
No, we won't. Don't do the spoiler, but the setup is that you're from a well-to-do family. The father is a rabbi.
And I'm about to get married. It's like the time to start finding a match. And then
it would be an arranged marriage, but you've seen the potential groom.
I'm going to see like if I like him, yeah, if I want to meet him for the first time. And then like something happens and the sister dies and something else happens.
Well, your older sister Esther dies,
yes,
in childbirth,
exactly.
Giving birth to a child who's named Mordechai.
Mm-hmm.
On Purim, the Jewish holiday of Purim, where yeah. Esther and Mordechai are the names of the
stars of the show.
So that was obviously something you did on purpose?
Yeah, of course.
Now, Purim is a happy holiday.
Is it?
Is it?
All kinds of stuff. The major, like the major law of Purim is you have to get drunk to a point where you don't know between good and bad, which is, you have to be really, really drunk to get to that point where you don't know between good and bad.
So a lot of people get drunk on Purim?
You must. Uh-huh. It's a must. It's a law.
Well, alcoholism is not common within the Hasidic community. So
one day a year.
This is it?
They go for the whole show at that one day.
It's also a time when a charity is given. And there's this wonderful scene in the film where the rabbi is dispensing money to people who are needy, and one man feels he's not being given enough money, and he walks out in a huff.
This is how
something happens like that. People, that's happened.
Yeah, this is how we are. At the beginning, it's so nice that people give us, and then we want more. This is how it is, people.
Now, the story, what happens in the story is your older sister dies, Esther. And your mother just can't bear to think that the new baby will be taken away because her father has to get married again, and there's pressure for him to go to Belgium to get married, so he'll be gone from Israel. And they decide that it's a good idea for you to marry him instead.
they don't decide that it's a good idea. I mean, the mother thinks that it's a good idea, and she asks people, like she asks him, she asks the matchmaker. It's like, it's not that they decide for me.
Well, you have to make the ultimate decision, but there's a lot of pressure applied.
There's a pressure, but only it's because it's like a complicated situation, it's because it's family matters, and it's a hard time after the sister dies. And it's not pressure like bad pressure. I think this is the most beautifully portrayed family I ever saw, and very sensitive, even more than I know, like in real life. That's something I really remember about this family, that they felt like really sensitive. Sometimes you don't get that just because she's so confused, but it's not because they're really pushing her.
Now, Rama, you say that this story was inspired by something that you heard at a wedding?
I was sitting in a wedding when a beautiful girl came up to us, and she was wearing a lot of jewelry, which means she just got engaged. And my friend was congratulating her in a weird way, and when she went away, she said, "You see her? She's about to marry her late sister's husband." And that really blew me away, and I was running after her the whole wedding, and then I started researching it. At the end of the road, I was not even sure I have a drama. It's very natural to marry your late sister's husband.
Although your character, Shira, feels a little uncomfortable doing that at first. It almost feels incestuous.
Yes, but well, there's so many different perspectives that people choose to look at this film, but we know what we meant and what we aspired to, but people see it in many different ways.
Now, there is the sense in this film that if you're a woman and you're not married, that's a real problem. There are two unmarried women here, and they're kind of pathetic characters.
Is it pathetic when you're like 35 years old, secular, and didn't find the love of your life? Or like 37? Is it pathetic?
I don't think that there's as much of a feeling like your life has failed.
Does it?
Yeah.
Do you if a girl like this would have, you know, be invited for a family wedding, would she go gladly? Or does she start feeling very uncomfortable
when she
has to meet her couple friends with the kids? It's the same. The only difference is it's about marriage. But it's the same. I find my friends that are not religious feeling very uncomfortable not finding their spouse at the age of 35 and 36 and being very uptight about it. It's the same. There's just no way to blur it because you have to get married. It's not, you cannot just go to a bar and have a one-night stand to blur that feeling. You have to marry. But it's the same.
You have a career, but none of the women in your film have lives outside of their homes in the synagogue. Has that been pointed out to you?
That's interesting, because for me, Shira is that true artist I will never be, which means that she uses the accordion only to express herself.
That Shira plays the accordion.
And only to express herself. It has nothing to do with audience or success or whatever. It's only about expressing, which for me, it's a true artist. So I don't think that.
Well, there's a lot of music in the film. Most of it is men singing, because the men do the singing.
Only men singing.
Yes, and women look at this often through the doorway. But Shira plays accordion. Do you play accordion?
No.
So you had to fake it?
I had to take lessons to learn how to fake it properly, because it's very difficult playing the accordion. It demands a lot of coordination. Very difficult.
Are you going to play it in the future?
I
or you
don't
think
know.
It'll be typecast? We need somebody who plays accordion. She's young.
Let's
and
call
beautiful.
That. No, it's not going to happen.
The film we've been discussing, Fill the Void, opens tomorrow at the Landmark Sunshine and Lincoln Plaza Theaters. And it has been my great pleasure to speak with its writer and director, Rama Burstein, and with its star, Hadas Yaron. All of the cast members are quite wonderful.
Thank you.
I don't know whether it's because you're a brilliant director or you just cast very well.
That's it.
Both.
Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you for
Thank
inviting
you.
Us. Thank you.